Why is planning sometimes the hardest part of being a dungeon master? Wouldn't it be nice to have some sort of guide to help you through your planning, no matter what you're planning for? On today's episode, I'm going to introduce you to the case framework. And through it, you can take any aspect of the entire campaign, work on it without having to worry about writer's block or making it all fit together. This framework is designed to help new dungeon masters the most, but this framework's also going to help old dungeon masters benefit as well. The case framework is incredibly simple, but often it's the simple things in life that save us the most time, energy, and money. Welcome to How to Be a Better DM, brought to you by Session Zero Studios. I'm your host, Justin Lewis, and this show has been helping dungeon masters, new and old, for over 150 episodes now, tell better stories for themselves and their players without spending extra money, extra time, or extra hassle. And I want to start off today's show, obviously, first with a couple words of gratitude. Over the last couple months, we've grown a lot. We've actually launched our new actual play show, The Pact and Boon. We've done our first panel at a live event. And honestly, we've just been blown away by the support that you have given us. So I am bowing down before you. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. Thank you so much for your support. But enough sappiness. Let's jump into the case framework. So first of all, let me tell you why the case framework. The case framework will help you break down each individual part of your campaign into smaller constituent parts. It also helps you make sense of those smaller parts by fitting them into the larger framework. It works like a Russian nesting doll. And one of the most important parts of story is the through line. Okay, it's not a story unless all the events are somehow connected. If they weren't, they'd just be random events, not necessarily one story. And having the same character throughout each event isn't quite enough. They need to have something to tie them together. Obviously, you can have side quests, but the main campaign should feel like a campaign. The nice thing about the case framework as well is that you can really start planning with any single part of the framework. It also helps to remember the framework as a whole, so that as you do plan the S portion, you can keep in mind the A and the E, and to a lesser extent, the C. Let me also explain that this framework does not help improv during the game. This is all about preparation. So any improv you do is going to have to use some of our other tips. One last thing to notice about this framework is that it can help you plan the timing of your game. Despite how much we may not want them to, all things have to come to an end. And actually, that's a good thing, because the longer something goes on, the higher the chance there is that it spoils. Every story has a climax, and then a wrap-up, and a close. D&D is no different. Knowing the climax and the end from the beginning can help make sure the campaign doesn't get stale. If it's getting boring, then it's time to move on. Now, let's get into the framework. The framework goes as follows. Case, campaign, arc, session, encounter. Let me repeat that. Campaign, arc, as in story arc, session, encounter. C stands for campaign. And as I mentioned at the start of today's episode, each part of this framework is tied to the parts before and the parts after. The C and the E are a little bit different, though, because obviously they're only tied to one other part. In the campaign step, this is where you think about the main plot line of the campaign. The case framework works so well because you can start with any part of it, whatever is easiest for you to get going, but you also need to think about the scope of what you're planning. So if you want to run a full campaign, then obviously you need to do the C. If you only want to run a small campaign or a story arc, then you just need the ASE. And lastly, if you do a one-shot, then you seriously just need the SE. And a campaign is generally made up of at least a few story arcs. So for the purpose of this case framework, when you work on the C, you're going to work on it in three parts. Number one, the general idea, which is basically what you're going to do in every single part. Number two, break that idea into steps, story arcs, basically. And then number three, develop the important players. Let's go through each of these. When planning a campaign and you decide to start on the C of case, the easiest way to start is with the general idea of the campaign. So for me, this is generally where I toy with multiple ideas and settle on one that I actually want to pursue as the main problem of the campaign. For example, I'm starting to plan the next homebrew campaign for my friends that I'm going to be running. If any of you of my players are listening, stop listening right now. And also for the rest of you, this might give away some spoilers for any future one-shots that I put on in the future, so keep that in mind. But I'm planning this next campaign to be run in the world of Integrity, which is my homebrew world that I've worked on a little bit, and honestly, it's actually constantly changing. But as of right now, I've got a few plot lines bouncing around in my head. So first off, there is humans are dying off because of their connection to an elder deity is gone. And so now to fix this, there's a secret organization called the Unseen, and they are trying to reverse the dying off of humanity, but they are going about it in the absolute worst ways. That's one. Second idea is that the world itself is in chaos, every nation poised for all-out war, and because the world is on the brink of war, there is a different secret organization called the Breach, and this is led by a man who actually wants to bring peace to the world. But to do this, he's decided he's going to try and conquer the world. He believes that either if he succeeds and conquers everything, the world will be united, and if he doesn't succeed, but he is a big enough threat, the rest of the world will unite against him, and either way, the world gets united. The third idea is that originally on this world, there was an elder deity that was threatened by the falling of a corrupted seed from the world tree, Yggdrasil. And the seed fell into the world, kind of like a meteor, and started corrupting the lesser gods, turning many of them to be evil. And that seed is actually still embedded in the world, and whatever protection the Elder God used to keep that corruption at bay is not working anymore. And the Elder God's also gone. And now the corruption's not just moral, but it's also physical, sort of changing the world as Integrity knows it. Obviously, I have more ideas, but you understand what I'm saying. I've been working on these major plot lines for quite a while, and they all seem very interesting to me, but I don't want a campaign that lasts forever. So what's likely going to happen is that I will pick maybe one or two of these major plot points and set them in motion. Meanwhile, I might pick the other ones and turn them into minor story arcs, reducing their scope, but still including them. Either way, putting the ideas on paper like this helps me realize what I want to do with my campaign. Let me also say that I know a lot of people love to wing it, and that's completely fine, but you don't usually get as awesome callbacks or foreshadowing when you improv compared to when you plan everything out. It's also an opportune moment to think about the theme of your campaign. Some people don't really care, but I think it's nice to have a little kind of Easter egg or through line, as I said before, through your campaign. So if your players are paying attention and if you do it right, they can spot it. So this is a great place to pick one for your campaign as a whole. So we've talked about picking the general idea. The next step is to cut that idea into minor story arcs. So let's take one of my ideas as an example. So first, let's pick the corruption seed that has impacted into the world. So one story arc that I might incorporate is the characters first discovering that there is some sort of corruption going on. The second story arc I will incorporate is the characters discovering that the corruption is actually the reason why the gods are cursed. And then the last one is naturally the Elder God returning, but being completely corrupted, and obviously the party having to figure out how to defeat them. So you see, you take a general idea and you chop it up into smaller story arcs. And now I understand how to structure the flow of the story. The next thing you need to do is start building out key players, key characters. Obviously, there's the Elder Deity. The next characters that I need to build out that I have worked on a bit are the gods. Naturally, I want some sort of antagonist. So, theoretically, I want some sort of prophetic character who has tapped into the corruption, used it to gain power, and now the corruption is sort of dictating what they do. And these are going to be the drivers of pushing the corruption. So that would be the next character that I need to create. And with that, I have kind of a pretty good campaign idea. So let's dive into story arcs. Story arcs should be considered sort of a campaign within a campaign. Often, the modules that you'd find or buy from bookstores could be considered campaigns or story arcs, depending on how long the module is or how long the DM strings it out to be. Just like stories, though, the story arc needs to have a beginning, middle, and end. One of the major differences, though, between the story arc and the campaign is that the campaign plotline might be interrupted by non-salient story arcs, while the story arc themselves might only be interrupted by non-salient sessions or two. So let me explain what I mean. In a campaign, let's say the main plotline is to have the party fight the Dragon Queen, Tiamat. As a DM, you are well within your rights to introduce a story arc that follows the desire of one of the PCs to acquire an ancient ancestor blade. In this story arc, the party does not fight dragon-themed monsters, but instead fights giants, okay? And obviously the party is going to understand that this isn't the main plot point, right? They're going to feel that it's different. And when they're done, they will likely get back to what is more pressing to the universe as a whole. Now, in that story arc where the party decides to look for the ancestor blade, there might be a few sessions where they don't look for the blade and instead they decide to go shopping, which doesn't necessarily move them towards any of their goals. They might also want some extra gold for the shopping, so they could theoretically take a job in the local town of clearing out a nearby band of gnolls. This is not related to the dragons or the giants, and really it would only take a couple sessions, but eventually the party's going to return back to the story arc and then back to the main plot line. You work 8 hours a day. You spend time with your family, and when you come home, you do work around the house. And it seems that you never have as much time as you would like to prepare for your D&D sessions. Does this sound like you? Wouldn't it be amazing to have endless material prepared for your D&D sessions anyways? That's where Roll and Play Press comes in. Roll and Play Press provides D&D 5e compatible material for any type of session. Running a one-shot? Check out their One-Shot Wonders book with over 100 one-shot ideas. Getting started with a new sci-fi campaign? Get their Game Master's Sci-Fi Toolkit to have your games much more prepared with much less effort. Why reinvent the wheel? Check out Roll and Play Press at rollandplaypress.com, see what they have to offer, and get a 10% discount when you buy something by using the code BETTERDM10, that's BETTERDM10, at checkout. Give yourself just a little bit extra help so that you can continue being the world's greatest dungeon master. Now, if the party veers completely away from the story arc, then you have to understand that you are pausing that story arc and starting a different one. Does that make sense? When it comes to story arcs, the theme and purpose can be a little bit more specific than the campaign. So, in my previous examples, my campaign plot lines were focused on the world as a whole. The themes that I've been thinking about had to do with, you know, personal change, unwanted or otherwise, which is a little bit more broad. But within the campaign, I've been toying around with some other story arcs that could fit within it. For example, a story arc that involves the party getting shipwrecked. A story arc to introduce the Breach, which is the worldwide domination organization. And lastly, a story arc to walk my party through Spark, which is a very unstable and powerful magical drug. And actually, it's the sort of technological fuel that one of the countries in my world uses for financial gain. And with each of these story arcs, the idea is I want to connect them to the broader problem at large. So if they start introducing or if they start getting to know the Breach, then it's very likely that the Breach might have some sort of schism where one of the major influential players actually turns out to be a servant of the corruption, right? And then the Breach is sort of a neutral party against corruption, but also has their own agendas and things like that, right? Let me also remind you that these story arcs aren't even touching any of the story arcs my players are going to introduce, just because they will have interesting backstories, right? You need to remember that. So with story arcs, as with campaigns, really, there's three steps. One, you create the general idea. Two, you cut it into smaller pieces, in this case, groups of sessions. And then three, you establish important players. So let's take the shipwreck story arc, okay? Cut it into multiple groupings of sessions. First grouping would be the party having to figure out shelter and just surviving on wherever they are, right? The next grouping would be introduction of some sort of strange entity, either another shipwrecked person or some sort of monster that they have to face. And then the last one would naturally be them not being shipwrecked anymore, them figuring out a way off of the island or wherever they are. Okay, so that's smaller pieces of the story arc. Third step, important players. Naturally, there would be NPCs shipwrecked with them, otherwise it's not so interesting. And two, there is the monster or other entity that they will have to battle with or deal with on this island. So obviously there are two very important characters. Now the last thing I would say is, on this island, I want them to discover the corruption. So that in and of itself is sort of an important player or a character that I'd have to figure out how it fits into the story arc as a whole. After the story arc comes the session. These are your daily building blocks of your story arcs and your campaigns, right? Without your session, nothing happens. And just like with the arc and the campaign, you want to think about the purpose and the goal of your session. You can either cut it into three steps, right? The general idea of each session, cut it into smaller parts, and then think of the main players. Or I'd like to remind you about our Put a Clue framework that I introduced back on episode 151. So P, purpose, U, unfinished business, T, timeline, A, arcs and acts. Hey, that sounds familiar. C stands for characters. L stands for location, U stands for the unexpected, and E stands for encounters. Again, familiar. I'm not going to go into the full framework, but I do want to touch on a few parts. So first of all, like I said, you want to think about the purpose and the goal of the session. This is very, 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 very important because it sets the tone for everything else you do in the session and everything else you do as far as session prep is concerned. You need to think about the feeling and the mindset you want your party members to be in or have at the end of the session. You can even think about what they were feeling at the end of last session to help you connect the two. Let me also point out that the A and E are still relevant to the session. The A stands for arcs, forcing you to think about how the session fits into the story arc as a whole, and the E stands for encounters, making you think about the encounters that will make up your session. The case framework works on the idea that each component makes up the larger part that it fits into, like Russian nesting dolls. Your session makes up your story arcs, and your encounters make up your sessions. Use this to plan the timing and the continuity of each part. One last note about sessions is remember to give yourself some breathing room. No need to worry about every single little detail, though you can spend maybe a little bit more in preparation time. And finally, we get down to the encounter level. Just like with every other step, you want to think about the purpose of each individual encounter. As a basic rule of thumb, each session should have 1 to 5 encounters, although you could have less depending on the exact session. In this case, you don't necessarily break it up into smaller parts, but you do want to think about the mechanics. That's where this is a little bit different. Also, when you build out the encounter, remember what you want to accomplish with each individual encounter. Sometimes the purpose could be as simple as giving the party a challenge, making them feel challenged. But I think the best encounters are ones where the purpose is not so obvious. For example, one purpose might be to make the party feel endangered. Or maybe another encounter's purpose is to start to hint at a plot secret. Intrinsically connected to the purpose will be the type of encounter it is. For example, a puzzle encounter will have a very difficult job of making the party feel endangered if there are no combat or trap elements. Wouldn't it be nice to gamify your Dungeon Master abilities? In D&D, characters can reach level 20, so why can't Dungeon Masters? We're happy to tell you that now you can. We created the Dungeon Master Level Up Guide for you. It's a simple tool to gamify your progression to higher and higher levels of Dungeon Mastery. It includes Dungeon Master levels 1 to 20 with associated XP requirements, as well as a long list of Dungeon Master activities that will give you XP to get you to level 20. Each activity has a challenge rating and an XP amount. In order to level up, all you need to do is find out how much XP you currently have, find out how much you need, and then pick activities to get you there. You can get the Dungeon Master Level Up Guide for free by going to sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter. Sign up for our newsletter once you get there, and we'll email you the Level Up Guide in the first email. Finally, leveling up as a DM can be as fun as leveling up a character. Similarly, a combat encounter will have a hard time hinting out major plot points if there's no social elements involved or no descriptive narrative elements. If it's a straightforward combat encounter, it might be somewhat difficult. So think about what type of encounter you want it to be. For those of you who use random table generators, I would also encourage you to think outside the box in every single encounter. Don't let an encounter slip by without adding in something cool or memorable. Right, let's say you roll a random table, and now the party is fighting a group of three bugbears. Should be a simple encounter, because obviously the party is actually a little bit higher level than the bugbears, so they should finish this pretty quickly. But what if the bugbears resembled the Three Stooges? Hey, what's the big idea? Whoop, 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 whoop. This combat encounter quickly turns into something else that is much more memorable, and hopefully enjoyable. You can make every single encounter just that more special by introducing elements that are unique and memorable. So now let's get to the most practical part of today's show. How do you put the case framework in action? Remember, the case framework is supposed to help you prepare for any individual part of your D&D experience and guide you in getting your brain and your paper, I guess, organized. So you use this framework pretty simply. Number one, choose the portion you want to work on. If you're not in a current campaign, then obviously the most logical step is to work on creating the campaign. If you're in the middle of a campaign, then choose between working on the story arc, session, or encounter. Number two, review the larger portions around the part you want to work on. If you are working on the story arc, then review the campaign that you've already done, the work that you've already done. Think about the major themes of the campaign and the things that you want to accomplish. Step three, split what you're working on into its smaller parts. So if you're working on the story arc, split it into groupings of sessions, just like I earlier did. And then step four, fill in the details. Everything to this point has gotten you the bare bones. What's left is to fill them in. The case framework doesn't help you do all of the work. Instead, it orients you and gets you started in the right direction with the right scope. It's really more of a compass and a map. It points you towards what you should do and helps remind you what you have done. D&D can be a very complicated thing, and sometimes, as Dungeon Masters, we overcomplicate. I'm 100% at fault here, but the real magic happens when you can simplify a great story, yet tell it in a gripping way. And this is magic because if it's simple, then there's no way to mess it up. The case framework is an attempt to help you simplify and demystify the entire planning process. It doesn't give you the exact details of every single moment, but it does help you tie it all together to create one story, rather than a series of random and unconnected events. But if that's what you're going for, that's totally okay. But for those of us who want to create something more integrated, this should help. Remember, case. C, campaign. A, arc. S, session. E, encounter. In case you forget, just remember, just in case. Literally, my name, Justin, case. With this framework, I believe you'll plan your entire game in a much more calm and collected way. And in fact, I want to leave you with a challenge. Generate the bones of an entire campaign with the major story arcs planned in this way. Put the case framework into action and see how useful it can be. Let me know how it goes for you on Instagram. Reach out at howtobeabetterdm. But thank you so much for listening to today's show. Honestly, it's my deep hope that each of you have the opportunity to go out and DM just a little bit this week, at least, because we only get better at practicing. So go out, practice, my friends, use the case framework, and until next time, let's go ahead and roll initiative.